I have tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, when my heart became free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus said to his disciples, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple blessing God. The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I have tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, when my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. It's like waking from a marvelous, expansive dream. Distant memories of mountains drawing nearer and nearer by summer moonlight. A long and circuitous journey which brings you to an unexpectedly familiar place. Retaining walls which stretch into impossibly vast expanses. An old love, a new life,
something elusive and at the same time sublime. Oh, how we long to linger in those fragments and to dwell a little longer in those images. We close our eyes again and hope that the dream might return. Perhaps we rise from bed at once to try to capture something of the numinous by our own hand in word or image or anything. Desperately, we cling to fragments of that which eludes us, torn between wondering on the one hand what it might mean, and on the other hand simply trying to preserve something, anything, of what the experience was like. And so it is that the apostles are, for a moment, captivated by the afterimage of Christ. They look and look for their friend and teacher who was there just a minute ago, who they thought was about to change the world, about to remake all things, about to create a new order in which they could at last rightly live. It takes some time for it to register that the future that seemed so imminent, even inevitable, will not, in fact, be theirs. Jesus is no longer about to transform all worldly things, nor is he about to share one more teaching, one more meal. And there is some sublime moment there, not in the miraculous ascension of the resurrected Christ following in the path of Elijah up into the heavens, but in the loss and awe and waiting. There is a lifetime of pain and shock and delight that unfolds in that moment, and it remains a moment which defies understanding. Like the dream, it lingers as something which has been experienced, but which cannot be completely understood, nor entirely captured, and certainly not communicated. It is an exquisite rupture and an enticing glimpse. Something has happened. Something is different. Early in my spiritual journey, I was absolutely fascinated by intertestamental literature, the body of Jewish texts, which sat somewhere in time between the Hebrew Bible and the New Testament, because there was a lot of living, thinking, and writing which occurred in that time. There were whole generations of spiritual journeys that occurred in the period between canons. And it seemed to me then that those intertestamental writings, that space between the old and the new, held a particular significance for us. We are, after all, ourselves too, in another time between testaments. We live in the space between those exquisite moments of transformation which swirled around God in flesh, remembered in the New Testament, and some unknown set of actions and events which someday will be captured like the words and images eagerly written by the ecstatic dreamer upon waking. The ascension marks such a moment of the exquisite. It's a high feast in the life of our church, and it is also an entry into another in-between time. Now, Pentecost may only have been a week and a half away, but what a strange week and a half that must have been, as it is indeed for us now, a strange time between that first Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit, and some other incarnation, descent, or whatever strange and glorious eruption of the Holy will next shake the foundations of the world. Emma Jung, the wife of the Swiss psychoanalyst Carl Jung, wrote at length with her husband's mentor, Sigmund Freud. She chided him for spending time with his patients, but not with his children. Freud, in turn, remarked that rather than paying attention to his children's dreams, he had to earn his living spending time analyzing the dreams of his patients so that his children could dream in the first place. Emma replied firmly, "I would prefer to think that one should not dream at all. One should live." We could, I suppose, if we wanted to, think of waking life as a series of unremarkable events which occur between dreams. We can go through life chasing power and accomplishment, activity of whatever sort, so that we can deserve our rest and drift into dream-filled sleep. Maybe in our increasingly commoditized society, it's the case even that our dreams are the only things which really belong to us. And perhaps sleep is the only time that we really have to simply live. So too, I suppose, we could look at all of life as simply a span of time, unremarkable in nature, fleeting, ephemeral, which exists between two really significant events, our birth at one end, our death at another. And some people do seem to live that way. And yet here, in this vast intertestamental space, is where life really is. Here, the spiritual journey. Here, the miraculous thing. We are not dreaming, but we live. And what amazing life it is. How glorious it is to live in this time where Christ has departed from us and left us with no better avatar of the divine than each other. We are not paltry and inferior bearers of God and God's image, but beautiful, lovely, and direly worthy of affection, connection, and companionship. Like the whole people of Israel trudging from Egypt to the promised land, the real encounter with God, the real life of God, is to be found in the journey, to be found in the wilderness. And the glory of God, the glory of God, is to be found in these times too, which are between that period of the presence of God in flesh and the coming of the Holy Spirit, this time of ascension, of looking after what has been. And so here we are in our intertestamental lives, filled with images and dreams and glimpses of the holy, and what a glorious thing it is to live. How blessed we are not to be left gazing blankly towards heaven, wondering what exactly it is that we're supposed to see, but to be able to look deeply and closely and lovingly upon one another and to see the image of God here and now, in all God's chosen people, everyone, and in everything our Creator has made, all the world. This is the moment of revelation and renewal and joy. This is the moment of our salvation. Here, like a thief in the night, the holy has broken in once again. It might be that God has snuck in without our noticing into our very lives in their paltriness and their power, in all our grief and all our joy. And so may you let yourself gaze at the wonders of the sky and long after beautiful things unknown. May you be filled with the fire that has warmed and inspired all your forebears in the faith. May you remember and love the testimony of those who have come before. And all the more, may you bear witness to the holy and wondrous and ordinary things and never turn away from the people God has given you and entrusted to you, people to love, people to care for. May you love and be loved, and may you feel the presence of your Creator and live, even now. Amen.